2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Inside Sources. Where KSL offers Utah deeper insights on the news. Host Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason
and elevates the conversation on issues crucial to our community.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, are we heading for a housing recession? Are we there? Home construction is falling and prices are at their worst since the 1980s. But are all of these signs pointing towards another hand-wringing great recession like the one we saw in 2008? Maybe not. Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day?
Think again.
Well, when we look at all things relating to home construction, you got to go beyond just the headlines and what's happening there. And to help us dig in just a little bit better, Kevin Erdman's a senior affiliated scholar at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, regularly weighs in on this topic and joins us on the line. And Kevin, you were quoted in a great piece in Reason talking about where we actually are in all of this. So give us just a little perspective to begin with of where are we as it relates to the housing market right now?
And thanks for having me on today, by the way. I think we're sort of in, you know, a very unique situation because we have, you know, inflation and the Fed trying to pull that back and wondering, you know, we're all wondering if a recession is down the line. But at the same time, the main problem in the housing market has been not having enough supply, you know, whether it's lumber or appliances or, you know, whatever is sort of coming up the works today. Has been making it hard for builders to just build sort of a normal number of homes that have been sold and that people are just waiting to move into. So we have this weird situation where we're sort of overheated and wondering about a recession at the same time. And so it definitely makes it hard to know sort of what to expect.
Yeah, it is. I want to go back to something you raised there and just give us kind of some perspective as it relates to the supply chain issues and whether that's lumber or whether it's ovens and refrigerators and other, appliance kinds of things. What are we still seeing as it relates to the supply chain issues and how is that impacting everything?
Yeah, I do think that's still the binding constraint here. Builders are still taking too long to get homes finished. They're nervous about that. And so really up until the last couple months, there was sort of a deal between potential buyers and home builders that, you know, there were more people that wanted to buy new homes than the builders were able to accommodate because of these supply issues. And so, there's sort of an implicit negotiation there of, I don't care that you can't build it today. I want to go ahead and buy this house now and get my sort of, pull my name out of the hat and be on the list. And the builder in this sort of negotiation of, well, it's going to take a couple months longer than normal. We're going to have to charge you a little bit more because we don't know how much that's going to cost us because of these issues. And so there's been this sort of weird, the market's been sort of out of equilibrium of sort of some buyers willing to pay that extra price to get their claim on a home and builders sort of getting a little extra margin for the trouble of that, right? And so I think really what's happened is we've just shifted because of the Fed pulling back, raising rates and pulling back demand. We've sort of shifted so where the buyers are more making that decision of holding off on buying. But I don't think it's slowed down so much that at the end of the day, the builders still aren't, selling any more houses than they're able to build. And definitely eventually we want those supply problems to be the thing that gets solved so they can build more and sales can rise without being inflationary. But I think we're still sort of in that wiggle room area where there's still a lot more homes that need to get finished, right, than there is then there's capacity to complete at this point.
Yeah, that wiggle room is the interesting space, and whether it's a wiggle or a waggle, it's some of those decisions being driven by the purchasers and what they're willing to do or what they're willing to wait for. Or what they're willing to pay extra for in terms of getting those things done. What are some of the other dynamics out there that you're keeping your eye on?
I mean, I think that's the main thing. You know, one of the things that's especially important in 20 years and sort of become a center. Oh, can you hear me?
Oh, I lost you for just a second there, Kevin. Go ahead
I'm back. Okay,
go ahead and pick up. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, housing really has become a centerpiece of the business cycle. And it's because we really have entered this sort of period of always being short. And it's mostly because of California and the, you know, coastal Northeast. And so what's happened in a place like Utah is when the economy grows or slows down, one of the big things that happens is how many people are moving there from California, right? And the irony is the better we're doing, the more people get priced out of California. It actually creates stress there because they've sort of created this limit of how good things can be because they don't build enough houses. And so in a place like Utah, you get this extra cyclical problem of too many people moving in. And really what happened in 2008 was there were too many people moving into places like Utah, and then suddenly they stopped. And then suddenly all these Western states had this big economic collapse. But I really point to like stopping that migration too much I blame that for all the calamity that happened. And I think that's the danger going forward is that we recognize that, you know, there are these sort of growing pains and there's this central problem we need to solve to get California to start building more homes and to stop this process from happening so much. But we don't want to slow this down so much that Utah ends up with a lack of people wanting to live there, you know, a quick change to the downside that's so quick that we end up having unemployed workers sitting around. And so I think that's the balance we have to sort of find is to sort of not let this problem keep pushing us out of sorts in all these Western states, but also not overreact to it so much that we end up back in 2008 again.
Yeah. Great insight. Kevin Erdman's a senior affiliated scholar at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Kevin, thanks for joining us today. Great insight.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Some good stuff there from Kevin Erdman. Again, George Mason University, Mercatus Center. And just getting that right balance as it comes to the housing market. We've obviously talked a lot about that over the course of the last year. All the different dynamics as it relates to the pandemic and supply chain. And now looking at how do we get that right equilibrium, that right balance. It is a crucial one to make sure we get right. So that we can keep growth going in a responsible and meaningful way while not creating something that kind of pulls the rug out from the economy and everything else in the process. Lots to think about when it comes to the housing market here in the state of Utah.
Think again with Lloyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.